Your recording has started. Speakers, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Anna. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the PPSAI Working Group call on the 1st of September 2015. On the call today, we have Steve Metallitz, Alex Deacon, Graham Bunton, Holly Rage, Sarah Wilde, Darcy Southwell, Sarah Bocchi, Volker Greiman, Christian Dawson, Dick Leaning, James Liddell, Todd Williams, Michaela Nalen, Phil Corwin, Suzanne Flosser, David Cake, James Gannon, Kieran Malin-Cheverville, Roger Carney, and Osvaldo Navarro. We received apologies from Val Sherman and Don Blumenthal. And from staff, we have Mary Wong, Amy Bivins, and myself, Nancy Terrazin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. We have the agenda that's been posted on the upper right of your screen, which starts with updates to statements of interest. Does anybody have any updates that they wish to share? If not, we're looking forward to a report from sub-team 2 dealing with section 1.3.3 on use of proxy services for commercial transactions. So let me, I'm not sure who is going to present that report, but I'm happy to turn it over to whoever from that sub-team wishes to kick it off.
Hello, Steve and everybody. This is Mary from staff. I'm staff supporting the sub-team, and Kieran was going to be on the call to present the updates to question one, but she's not able to do so at the moment, so she's asked me to do that on her behalf. I note that Christian Dawson, who worked with Kieran on one fairly significant update, is also on the call, as well as a few other sub-team members, so I'm sure they will put me right if I mischaracterize anything. The first thing I should say is that this document, as I noted in my email to the group, if you've had a chance to read it, is a consolidated or combined document. You might recall that at the first initial report meeting from this group, which was something like 3 weeks ago, question one was presented in two documents. And the reason for that really was that because of the sheer number of responses to question one, something like 80 or so, or maybe 90, two people did the work. So what we've done in this document you see is basically combined the two. This essentially means that on the analyses of the individual responses, which you see in this consolidated as Section 1 and Section 2, there has been no changes except for some slight formatting and so forth. So I won't propose to spend any time on this because this was already presented to the group the last time around. I should note at this point that it was pointed out to me that the document that I sent around about an hour or so ago actually incorporated an earlier version of one of the previous documents. So what you actually see here and what I've put on the wiki is actually the latest, greatest version. So it should have all those 90 comments for question one captured. So with that, what I will then focus on is actually section four, because that is the substantive significant update since the first report from the sub-team. And this update was made based in large part on the discussion from and by and with the working group on, I think it was the 4th of August or something like that. So the sub-team took the discussion, had a meeting and some discussions amongst itself, and as a result, Kieran and Christian, supported by me, worked up a set of paragraphs or proposed language, which you see here as Section 4, which in our view deals with the comments that was submitted as part of the Respect Our Privacy website, as well as the Safe Domain Privacy Petition. I don't know if anyone or if everybody has had a chance to look at that language. It is in the last two pages of this document, if you scroll down to Section 4. And I won't propose to read through it for in the interest of time, but what we have done here is highlighted in bold sort of the overall feeling of the sub-team, including the fact that they believe this should be more fully discussed by the working group. And in some part, it may also depend on the working group's discussions of question two, which Terry will come on to present. So, Steve, like I said, I don't propose to read through this edition, but I wonder if anyone has any questions for the sub-team at this point.
Any questions? Mary, based on what you, the end of your comments, should we have the report on question two also before we open for discussion?
Steve, I think that might be helpful in part to basically bring the full working group back to sort of looking at it from an overall perspective and maybe reminding all of us of where things stand. Although I see that James now has his hand up.
Okay, James, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. James speaking. Thanks for presenting this, Mary. I have a question about, and it's, and I think Christian, I think, is on the call, so maybe he can help me with this note that the statements that for the two campaigns in Section 4, the statements did not provide any additional insight into or direct response to specific considerations and legal issues highlighted by the working group. But I note that, you know, I think just from reading through and granted just skimming some of the vast numbers of comments and submissions received, that many of the folks sending in their thoughts did actually, I think, lend some specific insights about you know, for example, their use of a privacy service as a small business, or in, you know, in use of separating a business from their personal lives. And I'm wondering, were those then moved? If the working group identified one of those, were they moved up into Section 2? Is that where those kind of landed, or did they stay in Section 4? Because it seems to me that either they need to move out of Section 4, or that sentence about not adding, providing additional insight needs to be modified, because I'm not sure that both of those can be true.
Okay, thank you, James.
And I guess my question.
Kieran, can you? I'm not in Adobe Connect, but if you want to put me in the queue after Christian or whoever else is in the queue, then I could probably add additional insight into that thing.
Okay, well, once James is done, we'll go to Christian and then to Kieran and then to James Gannon. So, James, did you have anything to add? James Bladell?
Sorry, I was finished. So, this is Christian. Am I next in the queue?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
So, as one of the people that were working has been working on this comment, I believe that James has good insight here, and I would support the challenge to that particular comment within this. You know, my position all along was that I don't believe these inclusions should be qualified. But entered into a process in the effort to support an effort to come to a broad consensus within the group and tried to help drive it in a direction that would meet that would ameliorate all parties. The fact of the matter is that James makes a good point here, and I would support that we modify that language, because indeed this group did not talk about moving those to the other section. Those, we simply did paint this with a broad brush and perhaps too broad a brush.
Okay, thank you, Christian. Kieran, you're next.
Hi, thanks, Steve. This is Kieran, for the record. So that's Christian's comments are sort of interesting to me as an initial matter and a little bit confusing. I always find it a little bit strange when you work on something and you approve language and then you come to the bigger group and disclaim your support of it. I guess I would have appreciated when the sub-team was working on the language specifically that if there were objections to it, that the co-drafter of the language would have expressed those objections and attempted to come to a compromise on language at that point. But I guess that means we have to go back to the drafting board on this language if Christian is now saying that he does not agree with it, which is a new position to me. As far as James is concerned, I disagree with Christian. I believe that as a sub-team, we did deal with those kinds of qualifications. I think that Terry and Lindsay, when they went kind of steadfastly through each comment, you did take into consideration those kinds of insights and caveats, but what the language of the statement seeks to qualify is additional insight and clarification around the legal issues specifically, so not the issues that James highlighted, which are, of course, very very real, and we should take them into consideration, the concerns of small businesses, the concerns of individual proprietors. But rather, I think that statement was more specifically directed towards the language of this petition, which said that all commercial and non-commercial use of privacy proxy services for all legal purposes. That was, I think, where as a sub-team we got a little bit caught up, because the attempt in the larger group to discuss the legal issues around masking who is information and contact information was actually something that was not disposed of, and the language of the petition did not dispose of it either. So I think that I would accept the challenge to clarify what we mean more specifically and what language in the petition we were talking about specifically with our statement, but I don't accept the conclusion that we did not deal with the comments or the context provided in the comments of the kind of individual commenters that came from the Respect Our Privacy or Save Domain Privacy website. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kieran. James Gannon has been waiting patiently, so let me recognize him.
Thanks, Dave. So I have a bit of a confusing question around how certain conclusions were drawn, and I suppose this actually bleeds slightly into question two's response as well. So at the top of page 18, we have a suggestion from the sub-team that we first need to go off and develop workable definitions, but at the same time, we're recognizing that we have over 20,000 comments saying that this isn't something that the working group should be going down the route of looking to place restrictions or qualifications on the use of privacy proxy around. So I think we're kind of, are we not going in circles here by saying, okay, no, look, the public comments are, you know, by a huge majority saying, no, this isn't something that we should be placing restrictions around, but then at the same time we have a recommendation here from the subgroup that, and it comes into question two as well, I believe the language is broadly similar, that we need to develop definitions of this before we can look at it. So I think we're kind of going around in circles here.
Yeah, thank you, James. This is Steve. I'll put myself in the queue at this point. I kind of have a similar question, which is, look, this was an issue, 1.3.3, like 1.3.2, what were topics on which the working group couldn't achieve a consensus. And so we asked the public what they thought. And the question that was presented to them was, registrants of domain names associated with commercial activity and used for online financial transactions be prohibited from using these services? Obviously, it seems to me that regardless of how you characterize the mass comments, there was a lot of public comment that answered that question, no, they should not be prohibited. I recognize that the significance of that may depend on how you define some of those terms, but the way we put this question was, should these be prohibited? The answer was no, and question two only came up if you thought it should be prohibited. Then the question was, how would you define it? So did we make a mistake in how we presented this question, or are we now in a situation where we couldn't reach consensus and on a question, and the public comment is overwhelmingly on one side of that question? I think we're in the latter situation, but I would welcome the input from members of the sub-team if I've misunderstood what their report says here. I'm going to call on James Bledel because he was in the queue, and I see Kieran is next. So maybe she will respond to that question. James?
Hi. Thanks, Steve. And maybe not surprisingly, that was very similar to the question I was about to raise, your just last intervention there, which was that, you know, this was not a narrow legal consult. This was a public comment, and we phrased the question for a public response, and we got one, you know, and I won't comment on our privacy website, but the Save Domain Privacy petition, contained, I think, an overwhelming response specifically to this question as it was phrased to describe the impact on the general public and not necessarily looking for legal definition. So it may have been an error either in the way that the question was posed in the initial report or in the call for public comment or in the, in one or both of these public outreach campaigns. But I don't believe that it's the case that they were, that the response was ambiguous at all, at least for the large volume of response that were submitted. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, James. Kieran is next, and then we'll go to Mary, who's been waiting patiently also. So, Kieran, please, go ahead.
Sure, thanks. There was something interesting was actually said in the sub-team meeting yesterday, and I think it was Stephanie who said it, about his group in an effort, I think, to kind of understand whether we've made progress on this issue as far as consensus is concerned with these public comments, to kind of take the comments and to try to lump them into who's saying it. And I think that her point was that, you know, you would say, okay, INTA is a member of the IPC. The IPC is obviously the IPC. These comments are coming from civil society, and to kind of look at it that way. And I think that that's I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with that, but I kind of wanted to kind of pose that to the group to see if that's one way to look at it, because yes, there is a volume of comments that say one thing, but then there's also a volume of comments like from INTA and IACC, which are organizations that represent thousands upon thousands of brand owners and consumer protection organizations, and you know, they're asking the question, how are we defining this? And without a definition, how could we possibly come to a conclusion? And I think it's sort of disrespectful to those groups and to kind of the multi-stakeholder decision-making process in general, for us as a sub-team to just totally dismiss that. Now, whether or not we're going to come to the conclusion of, you know, the petitioners or the commenters from the website, you know, we don't know. But it's a point well taken, I think, by the subgroup, and that's what we're attempting to do as a subteam, is to kind of present that there are holes in the work of the group that, you know, that kind of prohibited entire groups of stakeholders from effectively answering the question. And I think that's where we're at. And maybe Stephanie has a point that we need to kind of exit outside of kind of the raw numbers, which I think is what we also did with the .XXX issue. We didn't just kind of take mob justice, but we looked at, like, what was being said by who. And we're attempting to get to a conclusion that actually respects the stakeholder process as opposed to just going by the numbers. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kieran. That is helpful. I don't think this is just a head counting exercise in any case, but I think that's helpful to understand why that there were commenters who raised that point. I'm going to ask Mary to who's been waiting, and then McKaylee, and then I'm going to suggest we go on to this question too, because and see what the sub-team has produced on that, which may help us on here on question one. So, Mary, please go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. A couple of points. One is just to pick up on something that Kieran said, that in phrasing this section four, the idea here was, well, two things. One was not to prejudge conclusions on question two, which Steve, I agree. I think we need to move on to that. It might be helpful because, as you may recall, on the last call that we talked about this topic, you know, the question was raised as to whether it would be necessary to go into question two and the subsequent questions if the answer to question one was overwhelmingly yes. The sub-team thought that while the answer to question one was clearly, you know, a strong yes, there were still some comments that they looked at that they thought pointed to the interconnectedness of questions one and two, particularly that merited them looking at question two. So that's one point, and so this language is meant to feed into that discussion. Secondly, the sentence that James Bladel pointed out, and, you know, looking at it again, I can see why it could have been phrased perhaps a little bit more sharply, because the sub-team did go into quite a lot of detail about what we're saying, specific considerations and legal issues. For example, the white paper that was circulated at the time and some of the specific detail that was in the initial report. This was not intended to in any way denigrate the many comments that came in on top of the Safe Domain Privacy Petition was sent in by those signatories. Rather, I think the intent here is to say that they did make specific comments, but those specific comments, you know, may not have directly addressed some of the legal issues that are still outstanding. And I agree that obviously it is not for our public commenters to do legal analysis for us. Nevertheless, and when we come to looking at everything overall as a working group, and Steve and Graham, I think that as we go through the remainder of the public comment tool, this may be something we want to look at more holistically. A lot of the comments from the signatories of the Safe Domain Privacy Petition have indeed not been moved, but summarized. And, you know, I've now put that summary into what is part four of our review tool. So at that point, maybe we can take a look to see whether that does sufficiently describe many of the specific concerns that were raised by the commenters, or whether we need to come back to either this sub-team or some other sub-team because there may be gaps we haven't covered sufficiently. So hopefully that's helpful, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mary. I've got McKaylee next, and then I would ask that we move on to question two, and then we can come back to the queue. McKaylee, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. McKaylee for the record. I'll keep this very brief. I'm disappointed, shocked, and even a little disgusted that yet again people are referring to comments from the public on an important issue using language which in this instance is referred to as mob justice, which to me is just incredible. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Michele. Let's go on to, if we can, to question two. Was Terry going to report on that, or is there, or is someone else from the sub team going to report on that?
Yes, this is Terry.
Go ahead, please, Terry. And then we'll.
Okay. Okay. So during our meeting, the sub team discussion yesterday, it was in short determined that. We couldn't come to an agreement on how to proceed. There was a concern that the commenter, who the commenter was in the summary that I prepared, wasn't listed. So I did go back yesterday and add who the commenter was for the summary and the items I thought that may come up for discussion or that the larger working group should discuss should indeed this issue move forward based upon question one. We never did determine what the threshold question should be. Again, as everyone knows, if the answer to question one was no, we don't think that commercial or non-commercial entities should be banned from using proxy services. Then what number two is, do we need a definition? So in the summary that I gave for before, which hasn't changed, is that if indeed we move forward with this, that yes, folks believe that we need to have a definition. And it would be difficult at best, and most believe, some believe impossible, to come up with a definition to fit every factor that needs to be considered. Susan, Stephanie, and Kathy, particularly Kathy, wanted me to ensure that I expressed they have strong concerns that the process would be a huge waste of time. They do not think that we need to move forward to define commercial and non-commercial. And so I just needed to put that out there to have their voices heard on this. And, again, I think that the question is we never decided. What is the threshold question, and do we need to move forward with this? We've looked at all the comments. And the overwhelming response was, the one was no. And so what do we do with number two? And that's pretty much my summary.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. And looking at the conclusion here, I think this summarizes what you just said, this last paragraph. But let me open the queue now on this, and I have Stephanie and James Gannon. Stephanie, go ahead. And by the way, if there's anybody on the phone, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. My apologies for being late. My first point was, with respect to what Kieran was quoting me on from the other day, we had a sheet that didn't have the identification of who'd made the comments. And I had indicated that it was useful and customary to know who had made the comments, partly so that you could go back and check them, and partly so that you could figure out the dispersion of the comments. I mean, if we all agree on something, if six stakeholder groups say something, then you can be pretty sure that it's a widely held view. On the other hand, if all the people who say one thing are from a particular group, and I include my own in that, then, you know, you might still have not consensus. That was my point, and I don't think it has much to do with not taking people's it was not about lumping people into groups. That's what it was. Anyway, my point that I'd like to raise on this question and thank Terry for the excellent summary. I keep raising it, and I believe we debated it at some length in the working group. To my mind, to provide definitions for something when, in fact, ICANN has no remit to figure out what people are doing on the web. I make a distinction between what they're doing on the web and what they're doing when they register a domain name, then that's outside the remit. And so why on earth would we dig a deeper hole in this area? Thanks.
Thank you.
And one more point. It belongs to national governments to determine how to protect their consumers with respect to what's going on the web. Thanks.
Okay. There was someone who wanted to get in the queue that is not on the Adobe, but I couldn't understand who that was. Let me just ask, is there anybody on the phone bridge who wants to be in the queue at this point? Okay. If not, we'll move ahead. James Gannon is next.
Hi, James Gannon. So taking a step back from my own personal perspective on this, just as a matter of workload management, I think we need to, you know, look at this pragmatically. The introductory text says at the top, if you agree with this position, do you think blah, blah, blah. So this is based off of question one. We have determined quite conclusively that question one was a no, we do not want this distinction to be made by a huge majority. And I would suggest that we don't really have spare cycles to be spending on coming up with definitions for something which the working group should not be moving ahead with, because we have determined that the public comment has indicated it's not something that's going to be supported. So while it's great work and, you know, it was important to have that analysis done, I don't see how we could support anything further being done on this given the response to question one. It would be a waste of very few cycles that we have left.
Okay, thank you, James. And I think that, I appreciate your bringing up the practical, pragmatic issues here. And I guess I'm just putting myself in the queue. I think there's some merit to what you say. I guess I would differ on. I guess I'd like to draw two distinctions here. First, I think that we can treat differently the questions that where we couldn't reach any kind of tentative agreement over the previous 18 months of discussion, and where we asked the public, here are two options, what do you think? I think 133 clearly falls in that category, and there I think it is a little, I feel more justified in kind of looking at the trend of the public comments, rather than necessarily delving into all of the details of them, because we tried to reach agreement on this and were unable to do so. And I don't know whether the prospects for that have changed at all. I suspect not. I distinguish that from the other, the questions 1 through 20 and Annex E, where we had reached a tentative conclusion on most points, and there I think it's quite, I would look at it quite differently, and I'm not, I don't think that the counting heads is very, very significant. I think it's more important to pull out whether there are topics that we need to re-examine or that we overlooked the first time around. This is not a topic that we overlooked the first time around. We had a pretty full discussion about it. So that would be one distinction. Then I think Kieran raises an important point, too, which is that even though if you look at the if you do count the heads, there are a lot more heads on one side of this than the other. We do have to recognize that some of these are representing organizations with lots of individuals or institutions in them, and that they raise an important point about the fact that the answer to this question might be different for some people based on what the definition of commercial transaction is. It's obviously perhaps would not be different for other people. At least that's the input that we are getting. But in terms of the practicalities of this, The question is whether, if there is going to be an effort to define commercial transaction and then kind of put a more detailed question out for consideration, is that something that we can do now, or is that something that, that has to go forward at some later stage in the process, and we should move forward with the without having this prohibition in our final report? I think that's kind of the question that, the way I would frame the question, and I'd be interested in people's thoughts on that. I see Kieran has her hand up, so let me ask her, and let me invite anybody else who wants to comment on this to come into the queue. Kieran, please go ahead, and then we'll have James Gannon.
I just want to make kind of one important clarification to what you said earlier about the question being debated in the group. I think that what was debated in the group was whether or not it was a worthwhile question, but the question itself, or any attempts to reach definitions, was actually not discussed in the group at all. In fact, I think that it was very effectively tabled repeatedly. And I think that there was an attempt by some members of the group, Legit Script and Libby Bainey's organization, which I think she's back with Stager, Baker Daniels. Anyway, she and some of her other groups, I think ASOP was a member, was a part of that, you know, she even tried to put forth a white paper to further the discussion about definitions and about legal issues, and it was repeatedly tabled. So I think I would just clarify, like, the issue was discussed in the group, but only preliminarily, the actual meat of it, number one. And I think that that's what, you know, the BC and the IACC and INTA and others seem to be responding to in their comments, which is that, you know, the work wasn't done in such a way that allows us to actually reach a conclusion on the substance of the issue itself. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Kieran. I've got James Gannon and then Christian. James, go ahead.
James Gannon. So, staying in my practical mindset. So, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty clear that we're not going to come to a consensus on including any form of difference to commercial and non-commercial users of privacy proxy services. I think everybody here, no matter what side of the argument is, we're on, is going to agree on that. And I think given the visibility and the level of interest in this, not just within ICANN, but in, you know, we had Fadi talking about it in Congress, and I'm sure that some of the senators, if they're still interested, will want to know why we brought a non-consensus recommendation to the board. So I think we need to be, we're not trying to split up and say, oh, well, you know, one stakeholder is worth less than the other, or just because we had a lot of comments from this. No, we need to be practical in this, okay? We put something out to public comments, and we got an overwhelming response. Now, you can agree or disagree with how that response came in, but it's a legitimate response to the questions that we put out. And as we move forward, you know, I think we're trying to create work for ourselves to try and spin things to the results that we want. But we need to respect what came in. We were told not to go ahead with differentiating between commercial and non-commercial users of privacy proxy services. Let's, out of both respect and practicality, just agree that that's the reality of the situation and move on. We're wasting time trying to create work to make it a more appropriate or a slightly different definition that might meet the other side of the argument. But I think if we go ahead with this, we're going to be doing ourselves a disservice on the working group.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, James. And just to clarify, I think you're not saying that the discussion we're having today is a waste of time. You're talking about one of the possible paths forward as being a waste of time.
Correct, yeah.
So, okay. Let me turn to Christian and then James Bladel, and please, if anybody else wants to speak on this, please put up your hand. Christian, I guess, has put down his hand.
No, I'm still up. I was just putting down my hand so I didn't leave it up after we finished, after I finished talking. So I just wanted to give support to what James Gannon was saying. I was part of the group that was pushing against us spending time on definitions, and it was exactly with that in mind. I think that the answer to one is clear, and with it being clear, the idea of spending time on definitions is definitely not worthwhile, and that's why I spent time in the working group saying that we should avoid spending additional cycles on something that wasn't going to prove fruitful.
All right, thank you, Christian. James Bladel, James, and then Mary Wong. James, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Steve. James Bladel speaking. And, you know, to James Gannon's point and to Christian, and I think this is kind of, I think you alluded to this earlier, Steve, is we've got some rough edges to sand off, I think, in other areas of work, but this particular area is certainly turning out to be some quicksand. I don't see folks coming together or necessarily persuading any minds to be changed on this. I, with concern of our timeline, it has been expressed numerous times on the list and in previous calls. You know, I think it's both the timeline and perhaps even the working group itself, you know, is jeopardized by the more cycles that we continue to invest in this particular issue. You know, I, just in practical terms, flag it as no consensus. Move on. Thanks.
Thank you, James. Mary? And then I think we'll wrap up and move on to the next agenda item. Mary, did you have
Thanks,
something?
Steve. Thanks, everybody. Two quick points. Just two quick points, actually. One is to thank everybody for this discussion, because this is exactly why the sub-team returned with this question to the working group, because I think, as Kieran noted in the chat, there were a few responses to question two that caused them to think that that merited this fuller discussion. Secondly, Steve, to go to your earlier question about whether there are specific subjects within this heading that might be appropriate to return to perhaps during implementation, I just wanted to note that there were several comments that did suggest possible avenues for research, either as best practices or developing some kind of implementation framework as a learning experience. I can highlight these for the group at the appropriate time, but I thought I might just note them here to perhaps provide a way forward at some appropriate time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mary. I think the appropriate time is right after this call. So, because I think if we can wrap up this this item and move on, that would be that would show some forward progress. And let me just also say, with sub-team one, I think my understanding is that they are also quite close to being able to deliver something to the group, and that will be coming out this week, and hopefully we can discuss that, look at that, assess it, discuss it fully next week, and wrap up that sub-team as well. So that would be the hope, if we can move forward on these. Thanks, everyone, for your contributions. Let me turn to item three, which is the public comment review tool, part three. I think actually this was circulated on August 20th, or 19th, dated the 19th. Anyway, it's been out for a few weeks, and it's certainly timely to ask if people have identified in this, people have had a chance to look at this, and if you identified any issues that you think we need to put on our list for discussion, whether in a subgroup or in the full group. So let me open the floor to anyone who who has any topic to offer on this. Okay, well, not hearing any, you know, again, we may be in the sanding off the rough edges phase here on some of these on some of these questions, but we've now had this document out for a couple of weeks, and I would encourage people to bring any topics that they think need special attention from this segment of the tool to the attention of the full working group before next week's call, so that we can again move forward from there. And in terms of the work on sub-team 2, I think we're at the point where hopefully we can circulate something from the co-chairs before next week's call, you know, some proposed language to be used here in the final report. We'll hopefully get to that point also on sub-team 1 after the discussion next week. James, you have your hand up, so please. I don't know if it's on this talk. If it's on the part three of the public comment review tool or something else.
It was at section 3. Sorry, Steve. This is James speaking, and I was a little late to raising my hand because I did want to point out just a note on section 17B, regarding to service providers becoming aware of persistent delivery failures of emails, whether that's a relay of an important notification or something like that. You know, I don't really have anything to add. I just maybe want to flag that for something that we may want to come back to. I understand we're tying this and mirroring some of the, the obligations in the RAA, but we're finding that operationally this is actually more of a challenge than it seems on paper. So maybe we can take a closer look at that, and how we word that as persistent delivery failure or something like conspicuous, clear and conspicuous indications that delivery has failed or something like that. I think that persistent delivery failure is not always clear, unambiguous, or even auditable, and we're finding that, you know, getting that into a compliance framework is very, very challenging. So maybe we can take a look at that language later on down the road.
Persistent failure of delivery, I think, is the language that we use, and I think we had kind of defined that in the report, if I'm not mistaken. So, are you suggesting we relook at that definition, or is it the label that is?
I just want to make sure that what we recommend ultimately is operationable, enforceable,
yeah,
auditable, and basically something that we can all work with and that captures what we're intending.
Okay, I think that's a good point, and I think it's let me just point out that we use that phrase several times and it triggers a couple of things. First of all, this in 17A2 it triggers notifying the requester that there has been a persistent delivery failure. In 17B, it triggers obligation to verify, re-verify, in accordance with our other recommendation. In one of the topics that's in sub-team 1, it could trigger, you know, some alternative means of delivery, but that's still being, you know, it's still open as to whether that would be one of our recommendations. But I think those are if I'm not mistaken, those are the two. Notifying the requester and re-verification were the two things that persistent failure, delivery failure would trigger under our draft report. And this is pretty important, I think, because in all the discussion we had about escalation and, you know, alternative means of delivery, we heard a lot from registrars and others that said, well, you don't really need to worry about alternative means of delivery and sending, putting something in the mail, because we're going to, if this is a persistent delivery failure, we're going to re-verify, and if that person, we can't reach that person, we're going to kick them out of the program as a breach of terms of service. So So if that's still what we're aiming at, but we need to define this more clearly, then you know, by all means, let's take a look at that. But I know this wasn't queued up for discussion today, but I just thought I would point out that this persistent failure of delivery has some consequences throughout our draft report. So we should be careful to keep all of those in mind if we're relooking at the definition. Okay. James, go ahead.
Yeah, and Steve, I'm not proposing we change anything that we've just or revisit any of the conclusions, compromises, or recommendations we reached previously. I just want to make sure that the language that we have accurately reflects our intention and doesn't inadvertently create loopholes that
right.
That render this, I think, well-intentioned and reasonable requirement unenforceable. Because we are seeing, or at least my experience is that that if we don't do this correctly, that some registrars, and I won't name names, but they're in the blogosphere right now, is that they can hide behind some of the ambiguities of the language if we're not careful. So I want to make sure that we are being clear, crisp, and concise in our recommendations. And if that means taking a look at the definitions and narrowing them. And tightening them up a little bit so it's exactly clear what constitutes this, and then I'm fine with that. But I'm not trying to reopen an issue here. I want to make sure that the issue that we have that we've landed on is something that compliance can actually
right.
go out and enforce.
Okay. So, and it may be therefore that thanks for that clarification. It may be therefore that we're flagging this as an implementation issue. That the concept is where we want it to be, but there may be implementation questions about how it's defined and therefore how it's enforced. So I'll ask staff to add that to our list. We have about half a dozen topics now that we've pulled out of the public comment tool as topics we need to make sure to at least take another look at before we go to final. So we'll add that one to the list. Let me just ask again if anybody has any others coming out of public comment review tool part 3, and if you're not in a position to bring it up on the call, then I'm going to ask that you do so by the end of this week, or certainly prior to next Tuesday's call, so that we can wrap that up and move forward. We will also have okay, Mary, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Not so much about this part 3 of the tool, but more generally, because what we're doing here, as you noted, is basically collecting the issues and the specific topics that people are flagging that came out of the public comments. So what I wanted to add on to that was that in Buenos Aires, we had planned to discuss some feedback on certain operational points that had been noted by our registrar and compliance teams. We presume that those can be also discussed when we come to run through the various issues that have been spotted. So really, this is more a reminder/placeholder, and James's and your comments reminded me of that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. And let me just remind people again that we please be on the lookout for something more from Subteam 1 this week, and hopefully we can get that wrapped up and perhaps have language out to look at from Subteam based on the report we've gotten from Subteam 2. I know there's been a very active discussion in the chat here. I'm not sure whether it's generating more heat or more light, but I think we've gotten some good comments on both sides of the issue today, and hopefully we can continue with that, focusing on the substance here. And I agree, you know, that words matter, but let's not get too distracted by the words or labels that people are using, and let's focus again on the substance and the practicalities if we can. Okay, is there anything else that people need to bring up for our call today? If not, then we'll deposit 3 more minutes in our bank of saved time from our various calls. I'm sure we'll have the need to use those at some point in the future. I'm sure the staff is keeping close track of this. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
For those who are in countries that have a holiday next Monday, I hope you have a good holiday weekend, and we'll talk to everybody again next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. May I stop the recording? The call is over.